The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
On this Trinity Sunday, Pastor Rick Ashy, our pastor for intergenerational discipleship, gave us a sermon about hope. He took a look at Romans 5, 1 through 5, focusing in on verses 3 and 4, and explored how Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and you participate together in the intentional and practical cultivation of hope here and now. Now, here's Pastor Rick.
Well, good morning, church. How are you? Good. Okay, we're awake. Okay, all right. Well, happy Father's Day and blessed Trinity Sunday. We've talked about that already. This is the first Sunday of the new season that we're in, which is very creatively referred to or called the season after Pentecost. We got to work on that one. We got to find something else. Sometimes I think it's referred to also as the season of the church. It's a very long season for us. And I think sometimes, as I've reflected over the years, we can get a little lost because of the length of it, because there's so much transition that happens from Advent through Christmas and, you know, and all these different things, and we're moving and changing and themes. And now we're in this kind of long trajectory as we head back around towards Advent. But my encouragement to you, especially as we get into the long days of summer, is to consider that this season is a time of life as the church. How can we minister to one another? How can we bless one another? We've talked about that. And then also discipleship. This is a great long period for you to maybe dig into a subject, a book or a study or something on your own, or grab somebody else, because there isn't going to be a lot of transition for a while now. And so this is a time just to kind of root down and just enjoy and kind of marinate. Anybody barbecuing later today? This is time to marinate. So anyways, well, this morning, if you have your Bibles and you want to turn to Romans chapter 5, we'll be there predominantly this morning. I'll be speaking out of the NIV if you have that. Otherwise, you can track along with whatever. But this morning, I want to talk to you guys about something in particular, and it kind of actually is jumping off from our elders' meeting earlier this week. It's really interesting how what we're talking about this morning was the core, the crux theme of our prayer and our thoughts and our encouragement and discussion with one another this last Thursday. It wasn't even planned that way, but it's just really cool how that works out. So here's my question to you guys this morning. What is hope? Where does it come from? What is hope? It's a word that we use a lot. It's a word that is very common in our culture, and it's all over the place. And I think for a lot of us and a lot of our culture around us, it has as much breadth and ambiguity as the word love does. So this morning, I want to talk about hope, and I want to talk about hope in relationship to the Trinity, being Trinity Sunday, and how we experience hope. So here's a couple of things for you guys to think as we get started here this morning. Is hope, and don't answer out loud, I'm not looking for an answer yet, but is hope internal, inside of me, or is hope external? Is it something that I experience that's outside of me, that comes towards me, or is it something internal that perhaps comes out from me? Is it something that I seek? Do I have to go out and find it out there? Or is it something that I manufacture inside of me? Is it a mindset? Is hope a mindset? Or is hope an emotion? Is hope about looking forward into the future? Or is hope rooted in the past? Where does it come from? Is it personal or is it collective? Can you have personal hope without collective corporate hope? Can you have corporate hope without personal hope? Is it a unicorn? Is it just this mystical thing that's out there, we believe, maybe, and you could spend your whole life looking for it? Or is it a park squirrel? just everywhere, bouncing around, just, yep, there and there and there, and just all over the place, just everywhere. Is hope scarce? Is it hard to find? Or is it abundant? Is it just everywhere, ripe for the picking? Pray with me this morning. This comes from the Gregorian Sacramentary. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given grace to your servants through our confession of the true faith in the glory of you, the eternal Trinity, and in the power of your divine majesty to worship you, three in one, Lord. Keep us steadfast in faith and defend us from all adversities. Give us the strength to stand firm. We pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who lives and reigns, one God, kingdom without end. Amen. So this morning, as we begin to explore this idea of hope, I want to read something, and this actually came up in our elders' meeting, and I just want to kind of draw you guys in, because there's something I want you to catch here that's really important when we talk about hope, and it's going to circle back around, and it'll make sense. In 2 Samuel, don't turn there, but in 2 Samuel 23, one of my favorite chapters of all time, because I'm a dude, and it's completely awesome, you hear about a couple of different guys, and I want to share with you two specifically. These are some of David's mighty men. Now listen to this. Listen to these stories. These are like man's men. So here we go. Next to him, so we're going down the list here. There's two guys. Next to him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahoite. As one of the three mighty warriors, he was with David when they taunted the Philistines, gathered at Pash Damim for battle. Then the Israelites retreated, but Eleazar stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to his sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. The troops returned to Eleazar, but only to strip the dead. Next to him is Shammah, the son of Agi, the Harite. When the Philistines banded together at the place where there's a big field full of lentils, Israel's troops fled from them, but Shammah stood his ground. It says he took his stand. In the middle of the field, he defended it and struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory. Why did they stand? This is one of the things we're going to answer this morning. Why? When everybody else ran, when everybody else, and I love how the Israelites are like, you guys stink, you're coming, okay, see ya. And then one guy chooses to, out of the whole army, one guy says, nope, and he decides to take his stand. Why? That's what I want to address this morning. Now listen to this. If you were reading our text for today, this comes out of Proverbs 8. This is the first three verses here. It says, does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading into the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud. And it's so fascinating. If you go and you take a look at the rest of that Proverbs 8, it actually anthropomorphizes wisdom as a being who was before creation with God. And as you get to the end of that chapter, it's as it literally that wisdom is celebrating with the God of the universe over humanity. Go back and read it sometime. It's fascinating. But there's this theme, this taking a stand. And it's all through the scriptures, and it's very interesting here. And it'll come up here in just a second. So here's a couple of things I want to share with you guys. First, hope shows up 180 times in the New International Version. That's a lot. Anytime a word shows up a bunch, it's worth taking note for a variety of different reasons, mostly because it's significant for whatever reason. Now, here's a question for you, and you guys can answer this one. Where do you think, in all of the books of the Bible, where do you think hope, the word, shows up the most? What one book of the Bible does it show up the most in? Psalms, that's right. Now you ready? Blow your mind. Number two, the number two place that shows up the most. No. That's a good one though, I like that. Job. Of all the books in the Bible, the second most times that hope is referred to is in Job. Isn't that fascinating? Here's what's also interesting as I was digging into this. There's more references in the New Testament to hope than there are in the Old Testament, significantly. And if you just look at your Bible in front of you, and if you just split the amount of pages for the Old Testament and the New Testament, and then you realize that like more than two-thirds of the references are in the New Testament, that's very interesting for us. And spoiler alert, it's in light of Jesus, right? It's really, really cool. So here we go. I want you guys to look at Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 with me. We're going to look at the first five verses here together. And it starts out with therefore. And Bible study methods always says whenever a verse or a chapter starts out with therefore, you have to ask what it's there for. And so it's all about chapter 4. Chapter 4 is all about Abraham, and it's all about unpacking who Abraham was and what he did. It gives some historical stuff about the guy. And it basically, the point of what is trying to be made here is that it wasn't what Abraham did, as in the physical things, that was credited to him as righteousness. It was his belief in God and what God had promised to him that was credited to him as righteousness. And so then we come right up to here, and in chapter 5 it says, therefore, in light of the fact that it wasn't Abraham's actions, but that it was his belief and his faith, it says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into the grace in which we now stand, and we boast in hope, in the hope of the glory of God. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. We could spend the next 3 weeks or 3 months unpacking those two verses alone. We don't have the time. But I just want to draw your attention to the positionally there's this standing. And without getting too deep into it, there is a significance historically in the idea of standing. Specifically, that there's proclamation that happens there, there's authority that happens there, and there's a big difference between standing and sitting, and we've talked about that at different times. Sitting has a finality to it, but standing has there's a positional authority, a representation that's kind of built into it there. And what you're going to notice as we're going through this Trinity Sunday is you're going to notice that the author here is recognizing and identifying all members of the Trinity. You're going to see that through these different verses. But it's this hope in the glory of God that we boast in. That's what we're going to talk about here. So I need help. I need four dads to help me. I promise I won't embarrass you. Whether you embarrass yourself or not is a whole other thing. But I need four dads, and if I don't get volunteers, I'm going to start throwing some stuff out here. So I got any four dads that all you got to do is say one word. That's all I'm asking you to do, is just say one word. So I need four dads who are willing to jump up here. One, two, three, four. Okay, here we go. So nobody's volunteering. I need the dad who, oh, now they're going. They're like, oh, okay. Here we go. So just grab a seat. Doesn't matter which one. All right, good, good. Hey, look at this. Boom, boom, boom. Okay, so guys, this is it. When I say that word, you say that word. And you say it loud enough everybody can hear. When I say that, you say that. Got it? And you can be animated. It's okay. You can ham it up just a little bit. Not too much. There you go. When I say that word, you say that word. You got it? Super simple. Okay. Here we go. I'm going to stand behind you guys. I promise I'm not going to do anything to embarrass you guys, but I'm just going to be back here because if I touch you on the shoulder, that may be your cue. I'll try to kind of help you guys along. Okay, so now everybody, go back to verse 3. Let's take a look here. You ready? So we're boasting in the hope of God's glory. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that our sufferings produce perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope.
Yes.
Good, yes. All right, we got it. Okay, so here we go. You ready for this? We've got hope.
Yes.
And then we've got over here, we've got suffering. And then we've got perseverance. And then we've got character. And then we've got hope again.
Yes.
So here we go. You guys ready? In our lives, when we go through suffering, there are specific reasons for that. Sometimes it's self-inflicted, sometimes it's not. We're going to unpack some of this here in a little bit. But here's what's interesting. Would you guys agree with me that some people do suffering well? Yes? No? Yes. You would would you also agree then that some people do suffering not well? You know some of those people, right? Like when they are in suffering, they focus on themselves and they complain a lot. And the problem is that if you don't do suffering well, you don't end up with perseverance. Okay? And so the problem here is that a lot of, and you know these people, they actually enjoy their suffering, but for the wrong reasons, right? Does that make sense to you guys? Do you understand that? That they actually enjoy the suffering for itself, not for what it produces in perseverance. Does this make sense to you guys? Do you understand that? They get stuck in suffering, and they never move forward because they want the attention that suffering brings to them in their life. Does that make sense? You guys, you're tracking with me? Okay, so if you do suffering well, suffering produces perseverance. Okay, now check this out. I did a little word study for you guys, and perseverance, I did a little word study, and it comes from some interesting background. So here's here's what this word means. It means to remain behind. It also means to endure. It also means steadfastness. Okay? So, the actual root words, when you break it down, it's literally comes from two different words. And the first word is to abide, and the second word is under. So the word perseverance means to abide under. Now, here's what's interesting. You guys ready for this? This kind of blew my mind. Then I did a word study of abide, and I started searching abide. And it actually takes, if you get in there and you look around, it takes a little while. But the word abide literally comes from two words. When combined, they mean nevertheless together. Nevertheless together. The word perseverance literally tells us it's not an individual thing. And so when we go through suffering, if we do it on our own, we won't get over here to perseverance, because the core of the word literally tells us nevertheless together. In spite of what's going on around us, we together will move forward. Does this make sense? You guys catching this? Okay, good, good, good. Okay. So, suffering, and if you do it well, it produces perseverance. Perseverance, if done well, produces character.
Stand.
Stand, yes. Stand, right? Stand. Character
Stand.
Is the product of persevering through our suffering. Oh. And when we do all of these things together, our character
Stand.
Is built up to a place where it provides for us hope.
Yes.
Yes? Good. Okay. Just making sure. Just checking. All right. Good. So here's the question. What is hope?
Yeah.
Are you sure? Okay. Here we go. If you got your Bibles, jump back over to Romans chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. You guys, just hold on 1 second, because I'm not done with you yet, but you don't have to for a minute here. You don't have to say anything. Okay, I want you guys to listen to this. I want you to listen to this definition of hope. This is just one chapter back, Romans 4, verses 20 and 21. Here's what it says. Yet Abraham did not waver through unbelief, regarding the promise, of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. Now catch this. Being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. I'm going to say that again because I want you to catch this. What is hope? Being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Why did Eleazar and Shammah stand? Why did Abraham do what he did? It's really simple. You guys ready? Because our hope is built on God's character, and because God's character is not going to change, because his character is literally on the line, because he promised to you and I, he made a covenant with us, and because of that, he perseveres with us, because the fact of the matter is that sometimes that's how he feels, because we mess up, and that's why we have to go to confession. But here's the beauty of it. Our hope comes from God's character, and his character is all about persevering with us because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. You guys catching this? Does this make sense to you? Is that not mind-blowing? This week was really, really cool for me as I was studying. Give these guys a big hand. Thank you guys very much. You can keep it, absolutely. Coincidentally, my wife, bless her heart, traveled all over South Placer County looking for Dad's Root Beer, because I was going to give these guys a bottle of Dad's Root Beer. Did they go out of business? Because it's nowhere. Like, I can't find it. I'm so bummed. Anyways, I was going to get you guys some little, like, rubber fishing lures or something, but I thought, anyways. Okay, here we go. Look at verse 5. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, I don't know about you, but I locked onto that word shame, and I thought, where's the first time that word shows up in the Bible? You guys want to wager a guess? Yeah, Genesis chapter 2, Adam and Eve. But here's what's interesting. Here, contextually, it's negative. Hope doesn't put us to shame. In other words, we don't experience shame because of hope. In Genesis chapter 2, the first time shame shows up, it's actually in the positive, that they didn't experience shame because they were in the perfect presence of God. That shame was not an issue for them, that it wasn't even a reality for them. And that's the beauty and the next layer of what we talked about here. And the fact of the matter is that because of God's character and his promise to you and his perseverance with you, even when you and I don't feel like it, even when we struggle, even like Abraham, when we waver in unfaithfulness, right? Even in those moments, he perseveres with us because of the sacrifice and the suffering of Jesus Christ, which gives us the hope and the reality that, like Adam and Eve, we don't have to cover nothing. That we can come 100% vulnerable to God. That's the relationship that he wants from us. Nothing gets in the way. We don't have to block anything, right? You have relationships like I do where we're not fully transparent with other people. You know what I'm talking about, right? That's not what this is saying here. It's literally saying there is no shame because of the hope built on the character of God and his persevering with you and I because of the suffering of Jesus Christ. Amen? Yeah. Let's close with this. Let's wrap this up. John 16:15. This is Jesus, and he's speaking. And he just says these simple words. And I don't think the disciples got it. But if you go back and read this, it's powerful. But just this one verse here. Listen to this. Here's what Jesus says. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. This is the beauty of what we're talking about in the celebration of Trinity Sunday. is that all members of the Trinity are a part of this process of drawing us in ever closer, of unburdening us from our shame, of making all of that gone because of the sacrifice and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. And here's the beauty of it, is that before we start thinking, well, you know, hope comes from God. But the text tells us that our suffering produces perseverance, and our perseverance produces character, and our character produces the hope. So we have a responsibility here. You and I have a process that God has ordained for us to go through in order to get from over here with suffering to over here with hope. You can't just sit around in suffering and wait for something to happen, because he's laid out for us our part, our actions. But it's not just us. And that's what chapter 4 is all about, because it goes the exact opposite direction. And it reminds us that even though we are participating, even though we are responding, the glorious thing and why we celebrate suffering and why we celebrate this great hope is because it's God who provides that hope because of himself and his promise, and he won't violate his character, and that he chooses to persevere with you and I, and that it was the suffering of Jesus that made that all happen. Amen? Let's pray together. Receive this prayer that Augustine prayed this morning. Breathe in us, Holy Spirit, that we may think what is holy. Move in us, Holy Spirit, that we may do what is holy. Attract us, Holy Spirit, that we may love what is holy. Strengthen us, Holy Spirit, that we may guard what is holy. And guard us, Holy Spirit, that we may keep what is holy. Unite us, Holy Spirit, that we may live as you live, Father, Son, and Spirit, three in one, Trinity. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.